Hey guys, this is Joe McGee. You know, we've been doing seminars across the country for years. Seminars on marriage, parenting, men, money, and family. I want to encourage you to email us and let us know if this podcast has helped you, and maybe you've joined us live at one of our seminars. If you have a testimony or just want to tell us what God's doing in your life, please email us at mail@joemcgeeministries.com, or you can contact us through our website, joemcgeeministries.com. There you'll find helpful articles and tools to help you grow in God, grow in your marriage, and grow in your family. We love you guys. We hope you enjoy the podcast. For God so loved the world, for God's what He gave, He did something. He made a choice. He loved unlovable people. And that's how we got in the family of God. So it's the same thing. So I've seen some things in life that I really realized I wasn't going to help my daughters. And I like to think I've done a really good job. They're not perfect because they didn't have perfect parents. But I want opinionated women. I want a Proverbs 31 woman. I want a woman that owns five businesses and mean it's not, gets up real early, stays up real late, and hustles proud of her, and she's getting stuff done. I don't want somebody who thinks, well, I can't do anything. I've counseled so many people, ministers that have gone through divorce. And I'd speak to church, and they'd call, Joe, you got to come. We're in trouble. And maybe they've had an affair or something's happened. And I'm sitting there, and I'm going to counsel this one couple, and he stopped, and the guy got up to get gas, and I've excommunicated him the night before, Sunday night. He's out because of what he's done. I'm going to try to save their marriage. And so I asked her, so what are you going to do? Because I assume she's leaving. It's his third time to have an affair. Third time. A minister, a pastor, spirit-filled pastor. Third time. Three different states, three different affairs. He's done it before. He'll do it again. And so what are you going to do? She said, what? What are you going to do? Said, what do you mean what I'm going to do? Well, I mean, you're going to divorce him, I assume? I said, no, I can't divorce him. What do you mean you can't divorce? What am I going to do? Where am I going to go? He makes the money. What am I going to do? And she stayed with him, believe it or not. And it's not a good ending, you know, so I probably shouldn't even start the story. It's like, you're your own person. You need to believe God. Somebody will help you. Church will help you, an organization. You need to start going somewhere different. You're going to have to cut ties. So I'm probably the only minister that people have got upset with where I've recommended divorce three times in my life as a minister. Two times within their own family. I said, we're divorcing. I'm going to get you an attorney. We're going to, this guy is not doing right. He's beating you. He's abusing you. He's not doing right. He's dead in my eyes. He's dead. We're going to cut him loose. God's got a better life than this, honey. This is not right. Now, that's not a flippant decision. That's a long decision. People that are married for really some time. So I was at Promise Keepers, the big 1998, the big Promise Keepers meeting. We went to Washington, D.C., over a million men. We're there to pray for our nation, visit our congressmen, our senators. We're going to be a blessing. So we're there on the mall, a million Christian men praying and being spoke to. Other ministers are speaking that day. All of a sudden, a racket breaks out. Now, you can't see it, but you can hear it. Man, there's some noisy stuff. Because I'm not a tall guy. It's like, what is it? All this screaming going on. Well, a bunch of women from a national women's organization showed up. And they started screaming at the men. And they start taking their clothes off. So somebody's daughter went to Washington, took their clothes off, and screamed at the men. And I'm trying to figure out, what did we do? I'm sorry, did I miss something in the program? What did we do here? Why are they so mad? Were they mad at men? Well, I don't know you, lady. You're mad at the wrong man. Go find the guy you should be mad at. You're not mad at me. I don't know you. And that was just the craziest thing. And then Billy Graham's daughter was speaking at a national pastors conference, and they wrote an article about it in Time Magazine called The Preacher's Daughter. And I cut it out, and she was speaking at a minister's conference. When she got to the podium, half of those men who were ministers stood up, turned their chair around, and they faced the back wall. They would not stare at, look at, or honor a woman minister. They wouldn't do it. Like I said, until 1920, women in America couldn't vote. Now, women started, if you know the suffrage movement, started in 1848. For 72 years, women picketed, wrote letters, pleaded, wrote their congress, trying to get the right to vote. Because in America, God bless America, woman can't vote. Woman don't know nothing. Go home and cook something, honey. Be God. You should clean the house, cook something. Shut up. And so the devil's got inside our own heads that somehow a woman's a second-class citizen. And I grew up in the South, deep South. We loved our wives. We loved the women in our family. But you know, after you got married, like a woman, you know, all the women in my family stayed home. They didn't work years ago. I mean, women stay home, clean, cook, take care of the kids, whatever. You come home, supper better be on the table. So on Sunday, we'd go visit with other family members. And the men would sit in the kitchen or in the living room after the kitchen thing was over with, watching a ball game, football game, baseball game, depends on the time. And the men would come, hey, honey, bring me another piece of coconut pie. Hey, honey, get me a cup of coffee. Hey, honey, bring me another Coca-Cola. And the women would do it willingly and lovingly, serve those men. And I thought that's what you did. And I remember the first time I asked Denise, I was at her parents' house, honey, would you bring me another piece of pie? You come get it yourself. And so I teach on marriage. God planned to introduce the Messiah to this planet through a woman. The first visitation of an angel. God had to come to this planet. He can't come. He's got to be born here. God can't just show up, take the planet back from the devil, and give it back to Adam. He can't do that. A human lost it. A human's got to get it back. And it was part of the plan from the beginning of time. God told Lucifer from the Garden of Eden when Adam sinned, one day I'm going to come in the flesh and I'm going to take this back. And he knew what the plan was. He couldn't figure it out. The devil's a fallen angel. He can't read God's mind, but he knew something's going to happen. What's he going to do? So all of a sudden, an angel shows up, finds this virgin girl. You're going to have a baby. He's going to call his name Emmanuel, Son of the Most High. You're going to have a virgin birth. The only time it's ever happened, a virgin birth. And she's getting this wild story. Now, she's engaged to Joseph, you know. And so she's getting this wild story. And so she said, when he finished, well, be it unto me according to your word. Just took it, hook, line, and sinker. And I guess so, and I appreciate being a candidate. I appreciate it. Well, her cousin gets a visit from an angel. You know, Zechariah, you know, we've got Elizabeth over there. She couldn't have any kids, and the angel visits him. He's doing his time in the temple. He's in there in the Holy of Holies, and he's doing his thing, waving the incense, and the angel shows up. Hello. So the angel gives him the same story. Your wife's going to have a baby, you know, and it's not a virgin birth. It's going to have a baby, and it's going to be a child. It's going to be the greatest man ever born to a woman, John the Baptist. He's going to make way for the Messiah. And so Sarah's like, well, how's that going to happen? I'm old. I mean, we couldn't have babies when we could have babies. We can't have now. I'm old. My wife's older than me. We're old. And so he starts doubting everything the angel says. And finally, the angel says, well, I tell you what, big boy, it's going to happen whether you like it or not. So I'm going to zip your lip up. You're not going to be able to talk for 9 months. So 9 months later, when the baby popped out, God opened his mouth. He told, man, thank you. I can finally tell the story, you know. And so God's going to get his will done, but God moves through words. I'll give you this right here. Acts 2, 17 and 18. Acts 2. It shall come to pass in the last day, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Now, women have a role. I can't do what a woman does. A woman has a baby. I mean, she can do all the things. She's built to do that. I do the guy thing. She does it. But I'm not better than my wife. She can do things I can't do that she's really good at. I do things she can't do that I'm really good at. Two are better than one because we help one another. But we're letting the devil get inside too many marriages and we got a war going on, screaming and hollering, whatever. You're demanding something. And I tell people, listen, a marriage, and I've shared it I don't know how many times, a marriage is a funeral. Hallmark's got the cards all wrong. It should say, I'm so sorry, I heard you got married. Because a marriage is a covenant. If you don't die at that covenant thing, you're a half-dead zombie. And so Denise and I learned earlier, man, we don't have any more rights. We're dead. I promise before God witness, until death us do part, I'm living for you this day forward. I'm the second greatest thing that's ever going to happen to you outside Jesus. I'm the second greatest thing. I'm going to make your life better. I'm not perfect, and I'm going to have to grow. I'm going to have to repent some and figure things out, but I'm going to grow. I'm the second greatest thing that's ever happened to you. I like this, Galatians 3, 27, 28. Let's get right to the bottom of the thing. He says this, there is neither male nor female, for you all one in Christ, even in the New Testament. There's no male and female. Now, some of the writings, and you know, and take your theology class, you realize women had no rights in New Testament times. You know, needed to be quiet and do whatever. And well, that's because women weren't allowed to get any education. Women didn't know anything, and so they were really abused during Jesus' time. And he knew that. So I was thinking of when my daughters are coming up, I got to get inside their head. I want you to get married, have 20 babies, suck the lips off your husband. Keep a good clean house and own 5 businesses. I want you to do that, but you got to think different than you think right now. You need to know who you are in Him, in whom, and in Christ. It's not in whom you marry, it's in Christ. You got to be the second greatest thing that ever happened to your husband. I wanted him to know that. You are the second greatest gift that ever happened to him. He that finds a wife finds a good thing, obtains favor from God. And you need to let him know that right off. Buddy, you found a gift in me. Well, I guess you, we would make fun in junior high. I guess you just think you're God's gift to man. And I told him, tell him, yes, I am. I am God's gift. I can go give you 3 scriptures on it right now. I'm a great gift to you. Not you, but somebody like you, evidently, not you. So, Psalm 68, verse 11. Boy, people don't like this at all. Psalm 68, verse 11. Women ministers in the last days. The Lord announces his word and the women who proclaim it are a mighty force. Kings and armies flee in haste, and the women at home will divide the spoil. God never saw a woman as a second-class citizen. She performs differently, functions differently. She does what a woman does, but she's not a man, but she is equal in God's eyes. And somehow we've messed that up. Until we fix it, the divorce courts are just as full of Christians as they are unbelievers. And that's wrong. Somebody didn't tell you who it was you married. You married a gift from God to help you do what you're called to do. So you might want to get busy figuring out what that is. This one I did for my daughters. We'll start with this one. Moses' mother defied Pharaoh's decree by having a baby and hiding it, preserving. We saw Ten Commandments, cease to be the meals. Really good story. And hiding the baby in the basket. And so they're going to float it down. And so she floated it down. We knew Pharaoh's daughter couldn't have any kids. Now, no, it wasn't public, but they knew it. She can't have a baby. She floated that baby by. Pharaoh's daughter finds a baby in the basket. She shows up. Got a baby. Said, I've lost my baby. Moses' mother said, I've lost my baby. And she had, technically. And I got full of milk, and I can nurse that baby for you. And so Pharaoh's daughter hired Moses' mother to raise him up. And what God did, God used the enemy to raise up the deliverer. That's a funny story. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because the mother saw that she had a beautiful child, and they were not afraid of the king's command. Rahab, you know Rahab the harlot? She had the keys to taking of Jericho. Joshua 2:9. She said to the men, now the men came, and they just came through town late one night, and they're spies. They're spying out the land, you know. Knocked on the door and said, hey, can we stay here? And nobody figured they'd look. Now, prostitution was legal back then, so, you know, it's a prostitute's house. Hey, we hide here. Nobody's going to be looking for us here. And so the king found word. Somebody said, hey, man, we got spies on the land. They're here. We got to find them. They're searching all the homes. They knocked on her door. They came through the house, but she'd hid them up on the top roof under some thatch. And they couldn't find them. So all of a sudden, she got them. And here's what she said to them. I know that the Lord has given you the land, that the terror of you has fallen on all of us, and that the inhabitants of this land are faint-hearted because of you. Remember me when you come back, because I know this whole city is going to be destroyed. Jericho and everybody in it died except for her, her mom, her dad, and brothers and sisters. She hung that red cord out of the window. Remember me, I've spared you because I know you are men of God. And her faith, and she's listening to the heroes of faith, a harlot. Listen, she's a hero of faith. She believed God. It's not what you've done. It's who you want to believe. No, that's good. Hannah cried out. She's down there. She couldn't have a baby. You know, her husband's got two wives, and the other woman's dropping babies like rainwater out of heaven. And so she can't have any. She's down at the temple, and she's crying. And Eli, the priest, like, he thought she was drunk. Man, woman, you need to sober up. Don't you be in a drunk. I'm not drunk. I'm grieving. You can't have a baby. And she told the story. And so here's what he said. Here's what he said. 1 Samuel 1:17. Then Eli said, well, go in peace. And the God of Israel grant you your petition, which you have asked of him. Now, what she asked, she said, if God will give me a baby, I'll give him back at age 5. I'll bring him back to the temple. And Samuel was the greatest prophet Israel had ever known. And he got some big prayers answered. Well, if that babyless woman hadn't prayed for a baby, God wouldn't have given her a baby, and that boy would not have been born. And he saved the nation. We don't know how many times that God has used women in a mighty way. And so when I studied history, I loved history. I don't remember any women heroes. I don't remember them. If I learned them, I don't remember any names. All the heroes were men, you know. And so, we loved Tennessee, you know. We got our heroes down there, and the old boy from World War I, you know. I collected the movie, you know. And so I remember growing up as a kid, all these men I looked up to. What the women do? Well, they cook and they clean. But I'm following the men because got a good woman. A good man gets a good woman to cook and clean. And so I didn't realize that women were used by God on an equal level. And I realized if I've got all these women, I want to make sure they can get us some goodly men, good godly men. But if you're not worth having, who's going to want you? And so I better help you find out who you are. You're not second class. Don't ever act like it. So like this, Deborah, the great judge and prophetess, delivered to Israel from the chariots of Jabin. Judges 4:9. The king showed up at her house because they were being attacked, and Deborah prophesied, we're going to have victory. So the king showed up and said, hey, you got to come with us. I said, why? He said, man, I'm not going anywhere without you. You're the one that hears from God. She was the prophetess because there were no prophets. You know, she'd sit at the city gate and answer questions and civil disputes because she could hear from God. And everybody liked her. The general showed up and said, I'm not going unless you go. And she said, well, fine. Here's what she said. So she said, I will surely go with you. Nevertheless, there will be no glory for you in the journey you are taking, for the Lord will sell Sisera, the evil king, into the hand of a woman. That's a direct quote. All right, big boy, I'll go. You know, if you need your mommy to go with you, I'll go. You know, but I'm going to tell you something. You'll get no glory because God's going to give glory to another woman. Well, just a few weeks later, the woman story came up just 4 verses later. It's Jael, the woman. Judges chapter 4. A woman brought destruction on Canaan and their leading general, Sisera. Because Israel's winning, Sisera ends up realizing, man, we're getting beat. We're getting beat. We're losing. I'm losing soldiers. And so he's running for his life through the desert. And so they've made old movies about it. He's running, he's running. He finds a little goat herder and his daughter's there. And he's out of bed. He said, man, you got any water? I'm thirsty. And she knew who he was. She said, well, she didn't say she didn't have water. She said, I've got some goat's milk. You ever had warm goat's milk? You'll want to go to sleep. Because it'll knock you out. And so she milked that goat. She handed him a big old thing of warm goat's milk. And he got in the tent and said, protect me. Let me know if anybody comes. I got to rest a minute. And so he laid his head down in there and he went to sleep. Now, they won't put this in a movie. But it's a great story. I used to tell it in children's church all the time. So that little country gal, as soon as she got him passed out, she took a big wooden tent stake. You know, they don't have metal ones like they have at Walmart today. It's a big wooden tent stake and wooden hammer. And she set it right down the edge of his head as he slept. And she drove his head to the tent floor. He died. Because Deborah already said, you know, you need to be a big boy, General. But since you won't be a big boy, God's going to give the glory to a woman. God's looking for anybody that'll let him use him. Then male. It's not male or female. It's anybody that'll let him use him. And so you got to learn how to pull on God.
Hey, thanks for listening today. Be sure to join us Monday through Friday to hear more of what God can do in your life. He's got a great future for you and your family. We're here to help you get there. Make sure you go to our website, JoeMcGeeMinistries.com. We've got all sorts of materials, books, DVDs, you name it, all there to help you, your marriage and your family succeed.